You are listening to KLRN Radio, where liberty and reason still reign.
Hi, I'm Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans, America's largest mortgage lender. Spring will be here soon, so if buying a new home is on your to-do list, right now is the time to call Quicken Loans. Learn about which mortgage options make sense for you and get a jump on your competition. With our exclusive Rate Shield approval, the low rate you lock today is protected for up to 90 days while you shop for your new home. With a Rate Shield approval, if rates go up, your low rate stays locked. But if rates go down, you get that new, even lower rate. Either way, you win. Talk to us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com to take advantage. Here's another great reason to work with us. For a record 9 years in a row, J.D. Power has ranked Quicken Loans highest in the nation in customer satisfaction for primary mortgage origination. Again, to lock in today's low mortgage interest rate and get the security of our exclusive Rate Shield approval, call us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com.
For J.D. Power award information, visit jdpower.com. Rate Shield approval only valid on certain 30-year fixed-rate loans. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
Thoughts of suicide may feel impossible to overcome, but with help and support, you can find hope and meaning. Call the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline at 1-800-273-TALK to speak to a counselor, or visit suicidepreventionlifeline.org. It's free, it's confidential, it's available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And even if it feels like it, you're not alone.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter 5000 at checkout. That's harrys.com, code 5000. Enjoy!
I'm Little Teapot, short and stout.
Here is my handle and here is my spout.
No, Dad, like this. When I get all steamed up, then I shout, tip me over and
pour me out.
This is WWE superstar Roman Reigns. It only takes a moment to make a moment. Take time to be a dad today.
Visit fatherhood.gov, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
KLRN Radio has advertising rates available. We have rates to fit almost any budget. Contact us at advertising@klrnradio.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, I am Rick Robinson. I'm one half of the crew. You are listening to the Juxtaposition Show right here live on KLRN Radio, America's podcast network. The other half of the crew is the Amish one. Good evening, sir. How are you?
Good evening. I am fantastic. How was your Christmas?
It was awesome. Lots of family came over. We did the family thing. We played a version of Dirty Santa, which was fun. Everybody was laughing by the end of it. I got like a $5 Brahms gift card and some candy, so yay, ice cream money for me. And So, and my son actually smoked meat, and it was amazing.
How do you get into the pipe?
Yeah, well, you know. Lots of jumping up and down. Anyway. So something occurred to me. So it's the last Friday of December. It's the last Friday of 2019. And it's also the last Friday of the decade. Do you realize in a few days it's going to be the 20s again?
That's fantastic, because, you know, the 20s, the last time the 20s rolled around was filled with loose moral women and a lot of partying, so I'm okay with that.
I figured you would be. All right, so, again, you know, just hoping everybody had a great holiday season. Sorry, I was talking about this with Ordy when I realized I didn't have half the levers set right while we were playing the commercials. I was like, I feel like I haven't done this in like 20 years and it's only been a few days. Anyway, so we have lots of stuff to talk about tonight. We actually decided we were going to talk about George Patton, something that I didn't know was apparently there is a theory that he didn't die of natural causes until I started doing some research, and then I figured out Bill O'Reilly, yeah, that Bill O'Reilly, actually apparently wrote a book about this that I never heard of. Kind of weird. I thought I knew about all of his books.
Yeah, I was today years old when I found out that Bill O'Reilly wrote a book about killing Patton as part of his killing series. And you know, I had always known that I'd heard that Patton had died in an auto accident in Europe in December 1945. And this one was actually brought to our attention from Jess. She hit me with it, and I didn't know that there was any conspiracy about it at all, much less that there have been books written on it. Bill O'Reilly, and then there was another really thick book that when I was doing the researching, I was like, oh, I'll look at some excerpts from it. The excerpts was 200 pages in themselves. So I was like, okay, I'll condense down my research a little bit. But yeah, no, it's a fascinating topic. I'm looking forward to doing it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, me being the history buff, I knew a little bit about Patton and his death, and that it was revolving around what appeared to be a car accident. But apparently, it's funny though that this comes up, because with as much as the Russians have been back in the news, apparently it was the Russians that may or may not have suicided Mr. General Patton, but not suicide. It's the original Arkanside.
No, they are definitely in play on this one, and you know, as the story unfolds, it's really, yeah. I mean, it's like, the first three attempts didn't get Patton, and it was finally the Russians that did, in theory. So, but you know, we'll get into that for sure. But yeah, that's I was just absolutely stunned the more research I did, because I always thought, you know, old blood and guts Patton dying in a car accident after the war, what an ignoble end to such an amazing general. And you know, it's kind of like anticlimactic. It's kind of like, you know, the Henry Blake going down in the, you know, in the Sea of Japan at the end when they changed colonels in MASH. It was a hell of a thing when Henry Blake died. But, yeah, so.
Yeah. Took me a second to realize who you were talking about. Then I was like, wait a minute, MASH. Okay, got it now.
Yeah, here I am bringing everybody down again with the death of Colonel Blake.
I know, right? Could be worse. At least it wasn't Colonel Potter.
I am the horse huck. What did he used to say? Horse apples? Anyway.
It's funny. Actually, I was watching a MASH marathon on TV Land during Christmas, and then went over to Barney Fife. I don't know. Something about turning on those old shows in Christmas makes me really, really happy. Probably weird, but that's okay.
It's all part of our nostalgia, you know?
Yeah, you probably have a point there.
I grew up watching Gilligan's Island and MASH and everything. You know, once cable TV came around and TBS started, it was all MASH and, you know, I Love Lucy and the Munsters and Addams Family. And anyway.
Yeah, careful. We're going to start getting hate mail about going astray.
Right, too far astray.
So, I mean, there's so many things to talk about with this. Where do you want to start?
Let me bring up my notes. I mean, let's start at the beginning. I mean, let's start with the official story. In that the official story is that on his last day in Europe, he was going back to resign his commission. Him and his friend General Gay went out to go pheasant hunting in Germany. And as they were returning down an obscure dirt road, some other soldiers stole a deuce and a half from a motor pool and were out on a joyride and hit his Cadillac limousine, and he died from complications from the injuries. He was paralyzed in the accident and later died in the hospital. And that is your official story.
Yeah, I mean, that's the official cleaned up version, but there's all kinds of, I mean, the thing about it is there's so many different versions of events that that's actually where I spent most of my research this evening, was kind of trying to parse through the different versions of events, because there was all kinds of different takes on how this happened, why it happened, who did it, why they did it. Just crazy.
Yeah, this really came to light in the late 90s when a gentleman named Douglas Bezzata came forward, and he was an American war hero during World War II. He was in the Marine Corps. He was the heavy boxing champion from the Marine Corps from 1935 to 1941, and he was then assigned to the OSS Operation Jedburgh. Now, these guys were like the Navy SEALs of the time. And he was parachuted behind enemy lines to help organize the resistance in France in the lead up to D-Day. And in his tour in Europe, he earned 4 Purple Hearts, the Distinguished Service Cross, and the Croix de Guerre, the French Croix de Guerre, 3 times. And he came out in the late 90s kind of with a little bit of regret. And he was talking about a high-level general that he was tasked with eliminating. And it turned out, as people were researching it, that it was General Patton.
Yeah, it's funny that you bring that up, because I was looking over some of the cliff notes that I had. There was an ex-Special Ops World War II spy named Douglas Bezzata confessed that he was ordered to kill Patton and make it look like an accident.
That's the important part, was to make it look like an accident. And now, he was ordered to do this by General Wild Bill Donovan, who was the head of the OSS at the time. If you don't know what the OSS was, they were the precursor to the CIA. And he was tasked to silence Patton, but nobody knows where Wild Bill Donovan's orders came from.
There's a theory about that. This is not confirmed. But one of the rumors was Eisenhower considered Patton a liability and a public relations nightmare, because apparently he slapped a shell-shock soldier in a hospital and called him a coward in front of, like, a bunch of people.
Yeah, so Patton was becoming a loose cannon towards the end of the war, and it was why he was regaled down to being in command of the 15th Army, which was basically a unit of historians who were given military ranks so that way they could document the final days of the war and get as much on-hand information as they could. MacArthur and Eisenhower, they think, never would have been president if Patton had lived, because he had dirt on all the German generals. He had dirt on everybody. But he was really pissed off, too, because he was held back. His Third Army was held back, and his petrol reserves were given to Montgomery so Montgomery could advance. And he believed that this eventually led to the Battle of the Bulge, that if he was allowed to advance, he would have been in Berlin in 1943.
So the question is he right?
That's important. I mean, how many more people died? A lot of this was to placate Stalin, and there are also rumors that Donovan, with the OSS, was really good friends with Stalin in their efforts into fighting Germany, and that's another reason why Patton was held back, was that Berlin was promised to Stalin by the OSS.
It wouldn't surprise me.
But the one that actually killed Patton, there were 2 previous attempts on his life. The first one was he was driving through a small village in his general's Jeep in the back seat, and they had attempted to kill him by garroting him. The plan was to drop a cable across the road and attempt to take his head off. But in a true kind of like Inspector Clouseau Pink Panther thing, at the crucial moment, he dropped his cigar. When he bent down to pick it up, he felt the cable whiz over his helmet. And then in the second time was he was in a Piper Cub doing reconnaissance. He and his pilot were doing reconnaissance flights over Poland, and someone stole a Polish Spitfire and went up and tried to shoot him down. But his pilot was better than the Spitfire's pilot, and he was able to evade and get away.
Dude, this just seems like something you'd read in a spy movie or a spy novel or see in a movie or something. It just seems kind of weird.
It really is. It's kind of like the kind of thing is what they would make a Hollywood movie. In fact, they actually did. In doing the research today, I had to dissect it from a Warner Brothers movie where Patton was assassinated in order to steal $230 million worth of Nazi gold. So I had to kind of get away from that, try and find out, okay, are they talking about the movie or are they actually talking about Patton's assassination? So, but yeah, no, it's a total spy movie.
It really is. I mean, there's so many different little twists and turns, and that's kind of the different things that I was looking at that I grabbed the notes over, like the ties between the OSS and Stalin and the fact that somebody in the OSS actually is rumored to have basically given the order to murder a general. To me, that just seems really crazy. And you mentioned, you know, Patton getting the Third Army, and it was supposed to be some sort of a demotion. Interestingly enough, those demoted folks were the ones that were actually, or the people that were supposed to be the worst of the worst, or a bunch of historians, at least if I'm reading this right, unless I'm misunderstanding something, they were the ones that were credited with successfully driving the Nazis out of France.
Yeah, and there's, you know, some good evidence to back that up, too, is that whenever the historians were going in, the Nazis were running, because they kind of knew that, you know, it was the sign that you have lost so bad that we're not even sending troops in, we're sending in historians. And so it would just cause them to flee or surrender in front of the 15th Army.
So it was the original Gulf War I.
We
surrendered.
I'm trying to think. There's a movie reference where they did that, too. Was it I'm trying to think of the movie that I think it had George Clooney in it, when there were the historians. Anyway, it was a late night movie. But yeah, it was kind of like, it was a Clooney movie about that, too, where the Nazis were surrendering to actual historians. So
I think I remember the movie you're talking about, but I don't remember the name of it. I think one of the most interesting things is since Bazzata's confession, there's actually been a...
Thank you, Ron. The name of the movie was Monument Men.
There we go. I think one of the most interesting things that I saw today when I started researching this was after Bazzata made the confession about being ordered to kill Patton and make it look like an accident, there were apparently a number of independent sources with a lot of circumstantial evidence that came forward to corroborate a lot of his story, yet the untimely death of General Patton still is considered a mystery.
Well, all the archives of the all the documents of the accident are missing from the National Archives. All references to the accident are gone. This was treated as just another accident, another car crash. It was reported as just a car crash. There was no severity placed on it whatsoever at the time. But things like the truck driver, was immediately whisked away to England and was never seen again. Never stood trial, never – his records were gone. And they were all supposed to be drunk, which would have resulted in a court-martial anyway, not so much that you just paralyzed a four-star general and hero of the war. You're drunk, you know. So a lot of questions around this.
Yeah, I mean, just so many. It's just reading through the description of the drive. I mean, it's like, and Jess actually posted an excerpt of that I think is actually from the stuff that I'm reading right now, oddly enough. And it was talking about during the drive when his Chief of Staff Major General Hobart Gay had invited him to go on a pheasant hunting trip. They were driving through city streets and he was observing all the derelict cars and he basically said how awful war is. Think of the waste. And then that was a few seconds later, apparently the army truck, he collided with the American army truck at low speed. It just, I don't know, all of this just seems really, I don't know, just wrong. But, you know, the thing about this is we act surprised by this. But, you know, and we've talked about some of this other stuff before, it's not like our government hasn't done shady things over the last forever, to be honest.
Let's talk about the meme. America is the only country that will cross a frozen river in the middle of the night on Christmas Eve to murder a bunch of German mercenaries on Christmas Day. So, you know, yeah, I mean, we were founded on this, so.
Yeah, no, I mean, we basically founded the idea of guerrilla warfare. Actually, it's funny because Loftus had a bit about that as well in the War of 1812 when, you know, Britain decided they hadn't had enough. And basically, he makes a whole bit of it. I'm not going to turn it into the accents, but it's funny. You can actually find it on YouTube. But at the end of it, basically, they're throwing down the gauntlet, so to speak, and saying that, you know, we're going to do things the gentlemanly way, blah, 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 blah. And then as soon as they leave, everybody's like, F that, we're going to kill them in the middle of the night. Let's wait till they go to sleep. And that's basically what we did. I mean, so the idea that we won't do shady things if we think it's going to accomplish what we want is really just kind of dumb because, let's face it, not much has changed between the OSS and the CIA. Anybody remember the CIA and during the Reagan years and how they were involved in crack cocaine and about a million other things that nobody talks about?
And we did a show on MKUltra that was a CIA thing. And, yeah.
So, I mean, it's not like this is anything new. I think the reason it's probably a little more disturbing is Patton's probably one of the most prominent figures that we now are starting to figure out may have been murdered by the precursor to the CIA, and yet we're surprised that there's an entire group in our government currently trying to spy on every single one of us.
Well, it's disturbing, too, is because, you know, Patton, for all intents and purposes, is an American hero. And he was an American hero at the time, too, and I mean, the light was shining on him, and he was very loud and very big. And for them to take him out like that, I mean, that's like, if you wanted to put it, it would be like when Hydra took over S.H.I.E.L.D. and tried to kill Captain America. And the analogy is there, too, because parts of the story is that the OSS was infiltrated by the I'm drawing a blank on the actual. Anyway, the precursor to the KGB was the OSS was infiltrated by the early KGB, and they're the ones who ordered the hit on Patton, as we talked about. So you're right there in the analogy.
See, that just makes it even more terrifying. Now you're relating it to comic books, man. That's just scary.
So it's the whole premise behind the Winter Soldier. Yeah, so
actually, I'm pretty sure MK Ultra was the entire premise behind the Winter Soldier.
That's true. Well, it dovetailed. But did you want to go into break before we get deeper into this? Because I've got a lot on Mazada.
Yeah, we might as well. It'll be a few minutes early since we started a little bit late, but that's not a huge deal. We're going to go ahead and take the break, get out of the way, so it gives us more time on the bottom of the hour to keep talking. This is Juxtaposition. I'm Rick Robinson. He's Ordy Packard. We will be right back. Don't you dare go away.
Yes! discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 1-800-516-7602 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 1-800-516-7602 to take your call right now. Call 1-800-516-7602. That's 1-800-516-7602. Again, 1-800-516-7602.
Hi, I'm Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans, America's largest mortgage lender. Spring will be here soon, so if buying a new home is on your to-do list, right now is the time to call Quicken Loans. Learn about which mortgage options make sense for you and get a jump on your competition. With our exclusive Rate Shield approval, the low rate you lock today is protected for up to 90 days while you shop for your new home. With a Rate Shield approval, if rates go up, your low rate stays locked. But if rates go down, you get that new, even lower rate. Either way, you win. Talk to us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com to take advantage. Here's another great reason to work with us. For a record 9 years in a row, J.D. Power has ranked Quicken Loans highest in the nation in customer satisfaction for primary mortgage origination. Again, to lock in today's low mortgage interest rate and get the security of our exclusive Rate Shield approval, call us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com.
For J.D. Power award information, visit jdpower.com. Rate Shield approval only valid on certain 30-year fixed-rate loans. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
Hi, welcome to the Subway ad for the new Sesame Ginger Glazed Chicken Signature Wrap. How would you like it?
I'll take a...
Sports announcer at home?
Yeah, how'd you...
We just know.
My wife picks up the new signature wrap. It's got double the rotisserie-style chicken mixed with a sesame ginger glaze. She appears annoyed at me, but she shrugs it off. Those sweet and savory flavors are calling her name. She lifts the wrap and... She takes the bite! Incredible! And now she's closing the door on my... Subway, make it what you want.
Limited time only at participating restaurants. Double meat basement, average 6-inch sub.
Bastard, I read your book!
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. A bit of audio from Patton there at the request of our Amish friend. Alright.
That is just the best. See, I love that.
But, you know, so... I don't know. I mean, the intrigue about this is really... crazy, because if you start looking at it, like the piece that I've been pulling a lot of my stuff from right now, there's actually, I don't know how well it's going to play, but there's some audio, video and audio kind of built into this that's I don't think it'll play very well, but it's just interesting that, again, most of what I'm reading basically says if not for the death of Patton, that Eisenhower probably would have never become president. Uh-oh. Did I lose you?
No, I'm here.
Oh, okay.
I thought We're going to play a clip. That's why.
No. I was trying, but I'm afraid it's not. I didn't get a chance to test out the audio, so I'm afraid it's going to not work. So I'm not going to do it. Not going to do it. It would be bad.
We can't have bad. We are highly skilled trained professionals here.
Well, that's what I try to tell myself anyway. But so, I mean, that's the thing that I keep coming back to, is there's all of this innuendo about the fact that Patton had made Eisenhower so angry because not only was he by Eisenhower considered a loose cannon, but he was so vocally opposed to some of the post-war foreign policy decisions that he was actually starting to actively speak out against the government.
Well, it's not just that. He was actively marshaling forces to invade the Soviet Union. He didn't want to. He thought he knew that the Soviet Union was going to be a problem. And, you know, apparently he was the only smart general among them he was starting to politic other generals and other military forces to advance towards Moscow.
I mean, I'm trying to figure out what he knew that either nobody else did, or, I mean, again, was this because a lot of people were in Russia's pocket at that point? Was it because they had already managed to infiltrate? I mean, because, you know, tying another parallel here, there's been a theory for a long time that a lot of the folks that came over that were scientists from Germany that basically became expatriates and came over here were ultimately, and that's been a theory for a long time, is that they were ultimately trying to infiltrate the government. So I wonder, knowing what we know now about what apparently happened to Patton, how much of that was paranoia and how much of it was fact in both cases?
Well, and that's part of it, too. As I mentioned earlier that Donovan had close ties to the Soviet Union, it's believed that Patton was going to expose how close. And others that also had ties in the OSS and in the Army who had ties to the Soviet Union. It was like an early McCarthyistic commie hunt within the Army is what one of the theories that Patton was going to reveal. And so that's a theory of why he was assassinated. Plus, Stalin just did not like him. Stalin did not like Patton at all. When Patton made no bones about how Berlin should have been ours. And he was very loud and vocal about that as well.
You know, going back to the Marvel allegory that you drew a minute ago, Jeff actually weighed in on something that was kind of that I'm kind of curious to get your opinion on, because he gave his opinion. He says the Winter Soldier killing of Howard Stark, in his opinion, was based on Patton's death.
I could totally see that. I could definitely see that. Now, if we want to talk about let's talk about the actual killing, the assassination itself, and what happened there. In that, according to Bezzada, is that when he was tasked to go silence Patton, what he did was he arranged for the truck to be in that place at that time. And when right before the collision occurred, he shot Patton in the back of the head with a low projectile air rifle that had a mushroom projectile that basically broke his neck right at the spine. And the force pushed him in the glass partition between the Cadillac between the back seat and the driver, and that's when he fell into General Guy's lap. He was the only one injured in that accident. Nobody else had a scratch or a bruise on them. And within minutes, the scene was surrounded by MPs and police. It had four aircraft circling above. It was just the response. I mean, to think about a response like that in war-torn Europe, in the middle of nowhere, near a small French German village, it's unthinkable that, you know, that many people would have been on the scene that quickly. I mean, I don't care how high the general is. He's not going to have that much of an entourage around him when he's just going pheasant hunting the day before he leaves the continent. So, yeah. And this was he was picked up by the ambulance. And like I said, the driver of the truck and the three people that were with him disappeared. They're flown to England. The driver of the car didn't say, you know, there isn't much about him other than he was interrogated and released and never heard from again as well. Patton was driven to a hospital in Heidelberg, and they passed several army hospitals on the way to get there. And when he arrived there, they put him in a neck brace, took x-rays, and his vitals started to drop.
Yeah, that doesn't seem shady at all. I didn't catch the part about them driving past several army hospitals, so that doesn't seem shady.
That doesn't seem shady at all. And then when he was there, his vitals were declining rapidly. Then the next day, the media was there, and there was a British neurosurgeon with him who, when looking at the x-rays and the type of neck brace that they put on, said, "This is all wrong. You're killing him." And they changed the neck brace to what the neurosurgeon suggested, and immediately his vitals improved. So much so that 7 days later, he gave a press conference saying that he would be returning home to Walter Reed. He was still kind of paralyzed, but he was drinking cognac with his wife, joking with the nurses, and said he was returning to Walter Reed to finish his recuperation. 4 hours later, he was dead.
Yeah, that doesn't seem suspicious at all. Nothing to see here, folks. Move along.
Right. Now, this is where the Russians come into play, is that it is believed that they poisoned him when he was in the hospital. But there is no toxicology. There was no autopsy done. He's dead. Whatever. And move along.
Again, it's the disappearance of the paper trail. Like the all records of the accident are gone. There was no autopsy or pathology reports. None of it. I mean, if a general who was recuperating and actually showing signs of recovery suddenly dropped dead, you'd think they'd want to know why.
Yeah, I mean, especially one that's, I mean, he's in good spirits. Like I say, he's joking with the nurses, he's drinking with his wife, and giving a press conference. I mean, that's obviously not somebody, I mean, yeah, okay. Do people suddenly drop dead from embolisms? And yeah, sure. I mean, there could have been all kinds of complications. He was still somewhat paralyzed. But no, it doesn't say what he died from either. It doesn't say that, you know, it was pulmonary distress from the paralyzation, any number of things. It just, he died. And there you have it. Yeah, nothing fishy about that at all.
Yeah, nothing at all. I mean, it's just the number of anomalies, like the missing files on the accident, no official investigation by American military officials, no autopsy on the body. The fact the Cadillac he was riding in during the accident is not the same patent car that is in the patent museum. The fact that he was recuperating in a hospital before suddenly taking a turn for the worse and dying as a result of what was apparently ruled as an embolism. There's so many more questions than there are answers. And I can't believe that nobody's seriously taken a look at this and said, you know, this ain't right.
And especially for 50 years that nobody even thought of it. And it was one of the interviews I saw was with a guy who does who runs an investigation company out of Illinois. And listening to him, he sounds like he does a lot more than that too, because he actually employed Douglas Posada and he said this guy was an absolute badass, and he employed him into his 70s. He would be one of the things that his company would do would be like if somebody was kidnapped and taken into another country, if a child was kidnapped and taken to another country, he would hire Posada to go and get the kid and bring him back. And so, and this was the guy that Posada was talking to about, you know, I killed, you know, during the war, he was kind of showing some remorse and telling some stories. And he said, hold that thought. Let me call my cousin. He's a book writer. You tell him everything. And the guy who wrote the book had, Posada gave him two file folders full of his diaries and his memoirs and everything else. And that's where this theory started to formulate. And it's not like this guy is incredible. It's like I said earlier, you know, he was a Marine assigned to the OSS, multiple medal winner. And it's not like he was, you know, looking for his glory days at the end of his life. He was still doing that, you know? So,
I mean, the more I look into this, even now, I mean, just after the research I've done today, it's making the private investigator in me go nuts. And I think that's one of the things that's driven me the most crazy about this today, is as I'm looking at this and I'm like, I cannot believe that I want it on record now. I'm not going to be the one to do it because I don't want to die, but I'm surprised nobody's tried to look into this yet.
Yeah, it's like Jeff said in chat, dig him up and run toxicology tests. Now, I don't know whatever happened to Patton's body. Was he buried? Is he entombed? Was he cremated? But, you know.
Well, let's see if we can find an answer to that question. Hang on.
Fire up the Google machine, Sherman. Yeah,
so apparently, yeah. I'm not sure if his body's actually there or not, but he is apparently entombed in Luxembourg American Cemetery, and I'm trying to figure out exactly where that is. The memorial located in Ham and established on 29 December 1944 contains the remains of 5,076 Americans. Most of them died during the so-called Battle of the Bulge. Among these graves is the one for the famous hero American General George Patton. So I guess it's apparently he's buried at a cemetery in Luxembourg, Germany.
Okay. So now we know. Now we would actually, yeah. You know, it's like, and Al said in chat, anybody looking into it would get stonewalled every single time. And, you know, probably still to this day, America loves the secrets, its secrets, especially the CIA. And, I think that they would still be stonewalled if they tried to exhume his body in any way. And you know, not just that, but fighting two countries.
Stonewalled, or they would just suddenly disappear. Nobody be like, no record of them anywhere. Who? What? No, those people don't exist.
Yeah. So, and, you know, here we are. This brings us to, was Patton assassinated? What do you think?
I mean, looking at the bits and pieces that I've been able to find today, the fact that after the party who was involved in it apparently confessed, and all these so-called corroborating witnesses started coming forward, I'm leaning towards probable. I mean, again, you know, there's no body at this point that anybody can. I mean, even if we could exhume the body, is there an ability to test so many years later to find out what actually killed him? I'm not sure.
Yeah, I want to lean toward, it's definitely probable. I mean, it's, looking at the accident, looking at the vehicle, it looks a lot, I mean, it looks bad. But the fact that nobody else even had a scratch on him in the car, yeah, it's, you see every day, you know, cars completely totaled and people get out of them without a scratch on them. Now, could it have been some fluke thing that the positioning and physics sent Patton into the partition and he snapped his neck when he hit the partition and broke the glass? Sure. But you think that General Guy or the driver would have had a scratch on their knee, you know, a cut on their face. I mean, I got hit by a drunk driver and I had severe contusions to my liver and you couldn't even tell that the truck was hitting that old steering wheel. So,
you know, it's interesting, you know, not to tie this into another juxtaposition topic, but I keep coming back to the fact that we were doing a show not too long ago talking about alternate timelines and how sometimes things shift and we don't realize that they've shifted. I just found something else that I was not aware of today. Not only apparently did Bill O'Reilly write a book about this, apparently there was a film put out about it that actually put forward the very idea that we're talking about today. It was called Silence Patton, First Victim of the Cold War, and it was a story that aimed to prove that he was silenced because his views didn't go along with the status quo.
Really?
I blame CERN.
Yeah, there's also a documentary. There's a lot of them, Nazi Loot. But I was looking for the Warner Brothers, what the title of that was. Because it looks like it was made in the 50s. Brass Target. It was made in... Oh, no, I don't want to watch the goddamn trailer. I just want to see what year it was made.
Hey, proof that your voice meter set up right, because I could hear that.
Great, I can start doing shows.
There's a reason I wanted to point out in front of witnesses that your shit works.
It was made in 1978. Wow. This was made in, Brass Target was made in 1978. Speculative fiction about a post-World War II plot by renegade U.S. soldiers to assassinate General George S. Patton and steal a fortune of Nazi gold. Patton has to get the gold back and is... Okay. Abraham Lincoln, vampire hunter. Yeah. Now, so, yeah, I mean, apparently this topic has been around for a while and we're just hearing about it now.
Well, I mean, to be fair... Well, to be fair, we're usually very deep into the conspiracies of today. But yeah, the fact that there are so many different takes on this was one of the first things that amazed me when I first started trying to do research. Because I really only had yesterday and today to really start thumbing through because of the holidays. And I was like, there's so much here. This may actually be something that at some point we may do a follow-up show just so we can finish tying up the rest of the pieces, just because there is so much here that I haven't had time to dig into yet.
This is one of those things that I have to focus on, and you know, I focus on the Douglas Pizzotto story, but yeah, there was a lot of other angles we could have gotten into too.
Well, and right now, like I said, the whole idea for this show is we bring up a topic, we talk about it, we kind of make a primer episode on it. Then that gives us time to dig into it for future shows and start actually planning out different angles of attack, because there are so many different variations of this story and so many weird little idiosyncrasies that I think at some point it would become fun to come back and revisit. But we only have like 9 minutes left, so we don't have time.
So what are you watching now, Rick?
What am I watching now? I actually just finished watching Lost in Space Season 2. And I just finished watching the first season of The Witcher, and I have to tell you, the showrunners at Netflix are pissing me off.
Why is that?
Because it's like they've done this now with both seasons of Lost in Space. Lost in Space, the first season it's like it slams into a brick wall. The story's not done yet, but the season's over, and then the new season, it jumps to a completely different point, and then again, by the end of it, you're half into the story arc, and slams into a wall, and the season's over, and they just did the same damn thing with The Witcher. I'm like, dude, when you write a season of a show, it's supposed to have an arc, a beginning, a middle, and an end, not a beginning, a middle, brick wall, see you next season. The fuck?
Yeah, that pissed me off with the first season of Lost in Space. Hang on, real quick. Al, interesting story about MacArthur. There is a theory out there that the reason the Chinese government went communist was because Mao Zedong used to play poker with a general that was underneath MacArthur, and this general always lost to Mao. When Mao went to the Americans asking for weapons, because this guy always lost to Mao, he recommended to MacArthur no. Apparently, Mao came to us first before Stalin for his revolution. I don't know. Like I said, that's a war rumor, but you were talking about MacArthur in chat. I wanted to bring that up. That's something we can cover on a future juxtaposition, too.
That I hadn't heard. So that's interesting.
Yeah.
Wow. It's just funny the different stories that you find out about when you start digging into little things. It's like you pull on one thread and suddenly there's like 14 different stories that you didn't know about.
That's the amazing thing about the internet. 90% of it is bullshit, 10% of it is angry social media, and 0.1% is fun stories.
So what you're saying is there's 0.1% of stuff on the internet?
Yes.
Okay, because I was going to say, your maths don't add up, but that's okay.
I wanted to say 9 and 9, but anyway. Yes, yes, there's over 100% of shit on the internet. The deep web, the Mariana web.
So speaking of, we usually try not to take shows, we don't try to take this show very political, but I thought this was funny. President Trump is in deep shit today because apparently he retweeted a tweet with a hashtag from, what is that group called? It's the conspiracy theory group. I can't think of their name all of a sudden. Crap. I lost it.
QAnon?
QAnon, that was it. Yeah, it was just, like, there's media people having a meltdown all day today because he retweeted something with one of their hashtags in it. Apparently it's their shorthand version for where one goes, we all go, or some crap like that. And they're like, oh my god, he's retweeting QAnon. And I'm like, are we sure he even knows what that hashtag means? Because I didn't.
That was WWG. Okay, I didn't know. I just thought that was, you know, what would Guy Fieri do?
Apparently it stands for where one goes, we all go, or some crap. And apparently it's a QAnon hashtag, and I'm like, well, I didn't know what that was until you told me, so how do we know he knows?
Yeah, hey, you know, it's, yes. Also, bringing us back to, I wanted to get into the fourth season of The Expanse, and then when I was looking at the episode list, I realized that I missed the last four episodes of the third season that I thought I had watched. So I am catching up on that and then starting the fourth season of The Expanse, which is fantastic if you have not watched it.
I'm really, really happy to find out that my youngest apparently at some point invested in Prime. So I'm about to steal his password and go hook my Fire Stick back up so I can actually watch the fourth season.
There you go.
I figure, what the hell. He's working, making almost as much money as I do per hour and still living rent-free in my house. He can give me his damn password for Prime for a while.
Well, and you know, that's the thing, too, is that there actually is a family option for Prime.
Yeah, that's
at no extra. So, yeah.
I forgot about that. I miss having Amazon as a sponsor, because once upon a time I had Prime and they didn't make me pay for it. And then they killed that program, and I'm like, you bastards. You know, right. Money you saved me at Christmas time alone, you bastards.
All the shippings.
Oh. All right, my friend. Well, believe it or not, we have about 3 minutes left.
Wow. God, this show just goes so fast.
Yeah, it really does. I don't know. I want to thank you, because I really felt like I was struggling at the beginning, only because, again, after taking the holidays off and starting to work on a shortened schedule, I really feel like I'm trying to find my legs again, and I'm not quite sure I'm there yet. So thank you very much, and want to thank everybody for taking the time to listen. Want to, again, thank everybody with KLR and Radio, since this is the last show I will be on for the new year. Most likely. Well, I guess not, because I'll probably still do at least one or two next week, hopefully. But anyway, since this is the last juxtaposition for the new till the new year, let's put it that way. Want to thank everybody for taking the time to make this show one of the most popular ones on KLR Radio right now, considering this is something that I always wanted to do, and then kind of thought political radio was a better starting point for me, because I was really pissed off because Barack Obama's policies killed my business that I had ran for nearly 17 years, and I had to go get a job as a call center monkey. Thanks, Obama. But this was always the one that I really wanted to do, and the fact that it's been embraced so well, and the fact that I have an awesome co-host to do it with, who wasn't, when I first approached him with this, he was like, that format's never worked with a co-host. I'm like, dude, I own it. We can do whatever the hell we want. If they don't like it, we scrap it. It's like, okay, right. Cool.
Thank you, Rick. I love doing the show. Like you said, I was hesitant to do it at first. I said, I'll be a great fill-in guest. And then after we did the Mandela Effect show, I was like, oh, yeah, we can do this. This one's great. And I wanted to let everyone know, thanks again for joining us for, you know, the year and making this one of the more popular shows on KLRN. And also, I'm finally getting that website put together. So not long after the start of the new year, we will have a whole new website with a whole bunch of features and hopefully a dedicated chat too. So we won't have to jump around show to show.
Yeah, that will be nice. I have to admit, now that we have people paying attention, I kind of feel bad when they have to jump from link to link and then we lose like half of them because they're like, screw you guys, I'll be back and listen to the podcast later. I'm not doing that.
So, Jeff can confirm he's in on it too, and so is Cranky and Lou. So hopefully by the not long after the start of the new year, you'll see our new logo, our new website, and all good things, man. All good things coming in 2020, plus the left's meltdown. Again, not being political, but you know it's going to be we are going to fill the Dead Sea with more salt.
So many tears. So many tears. Also, we have a pretty good group confirmed for CPAC so far as soon as registration opens up. So that should be pretty lit, because there's like 5 or 6 of us at least that are going to be there. We still need to figure out a way to get nice. Your ass there.
Like Jeff said in chat, we'll have our website put together before Cloud Hub gets a desktop app. Come on, Cloud Hub, we need you.
I don't know. At this point, you've been promising the website was going to be built for about as long as Cloud Hub's been promising a desktop app.
Right. So if I deliver first, I win.
Well, at least now you have incentive.
Right.
You don't want to come in last to Cloud Hub, bro. You don't want to do that.
No, no. Then I can mock Jeff Bain on Twitter, too. Hey, I got our website put together before you did.
Yeah, well, to be honest, I think one of the reasons they move so slow is they actually want to make sure their stuff works before they launch. The one thing I don't like is my Cloud Hub app just updated not too long ago, and the font is so much smaller now than it was before. I need to see if I can find a setting for that. I'm old. I need older. Bigger font.
Bigger font.
Yep. All right, folks, that's it. Right. We're out of time. Again, thank everybody. Hope everybody had a great Christmas. Hope everybody that only tunes in for this show has an awesome new year. I will be back with you probably at least for Tuesday night next week. I doubt I'm doing anything Wednesday night. I take that back. Tuesday night is actually New Year's Eve. So I will probably actually be drug out somewhere public. So I guess maybe I won't be doing a show till after the beginning of the year.
I will be doing Cyber Wars on Monday with Jeff and Lou. And next Thursday, I have got Culture Shift with Brad on New Year's Day. Is that New Year's Day or is that the second? It doesn't matter.
No, that's the second.
Anyway, that's the second. All right, the day after the hangover. Happy New Year, everybody. Thank you for joining us.
I don't know if you're doing it right. That's hangover day 2, not day after hangover.
Hangover Eve.
All right, folks, we're out. Take care.
Let's get UFOs.
What was that about UFOs?
Trump needs to investigate UFOs. He needs to pick up the pace where Clinton dropped the ball.
Well, I mean, he did just officially launch Space Force. They even got funding now. I thought it was funny that Musk is all like, yeah, Space Force is awesome. They're the precursor to Starfleet. We need Starfleet. I was like, holy crap. We're out.
As a small business owner, you deserve more. More confidence, more connectivity, more of the tools that help your business thrive. And at Cox Business, you can expect more from us. We don't just have sales reps. We have perfect plan identifiers, people who will work with you to make sure your business gets everything it needs and nothing that it doesn't. Your business deserves more, and that's why you can expect more from Cox Business. Call 800-526-8572 to switch today.
Available now from Imperative Entertainment and Texas Monthly, a new 10-part podcast series called Boomtown, about the biggest oil boom in history. Boomtown takes you to a rugged corner of West Texas, where roughnecks and billionaire wildcatters are fueling a boom so big, it's reshaping our climate, our economy, and our geopolitics. You'll get an inside look at the people cashing in and those whose lives are turned upside down. Find weekly episodes of Boomtown wherever you get your podcasts.